It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
George Culkin, dear boy, how the devil are you?
Well, right now I am sitting on a bench about 200 yards away from Craven Cottage. The sun is peeking through very, very green trees. The Thames is glittering right in front of me. And I'm quite tempted just to hurl myself into it, Taylor. How about you?
It sounds idyllic, George, I'll be honest. It sounds very idyllic. It's been one of the most beautiful days of the year, hasn't it? Utterly spoilt by football yet again.
Well, as always, Do you know what I mean? You know, it has to be, I mean, it has to go down as a very appropriate, awkward ending to an awkward season. It's fitting in that sense, in terms of sort of being here. When I walked along this very spot a few hours ago, there was the sort of traditional flotilla of pissed up Geordies on boats.
Yes.
Very good natured and you know, good fun, and obviously had that little unbeaten streak going, but it ends with familiar feelings of deflation.
It certainly does. I mean, I'm sure they would have wanted it to have gone out on a bang at the end of the season, but it was more of a wet fart, wasn't it, than a bang, definitely. What I would like to say to you, though, George Culkin, is well done. You've made it to the end of the season. And it's been a really fucking long season, hasn't it?
It really has. I mean, you know, from a very insular podcast perspective, I'm really proud of what we've done. Our first season as an independent podcast, and it's been, you know, it's been great fun to sort of chronicle the highs and lows, and probably a few more lows than highs. But yeah, I mean, in just overall, it's just been such a grind. You know, high moments along the way, but certainly in the Premier League, just, you know, not good enough. I mean, I think we have to say that. And
100%, yeah.
It kind of just hasn't been fun.
It hasn't. I mean, this is probably going to be our last little match day podcast for a while, isn't it? But I'm sure we'll be back with a kind of wrap-up of the season very, very soon.
Unless somebody somewhere has been caught spying on Eddie Howe's Newcastle team and everybody else gets knocked out of Europe and we get in the Champions League final. I don't know how else we can do much. I mean, we can try and do match podcasts over the summer. That is going to be a challenge. What, there not being any? How many beers have you drunk this afternoon, Taylor?
I've had two, George. Two, and I think that's enough, isn't it?
I think so.
I think it is. Let's talk about that team, because it was an interesting selection. He kind of reverted back to that back five. Initially, we thought it was going to be Lewis Hall playing right back, but then there was a bit of an injury to Sandro Tonali in the warm-up, wasn't there? Joe Willock came in and the shape changed.
Yes, I mean, I'm not entirely sure what the idea was there, I have to say. I suppose you could look at it in a couple of ways. Newcastle had not kept a clean sheet, they'd kept one clean sheet in their previous 23 games. That's now one in 24, of course. And, you know, perhaps this was just looking at a different way of playing and, you know, again, with one eye on next season. Or was it something sort of more fundamental than that? I'm not entirely sure, but I mean, it really reminded me, I suppose overall this season there's been a bit of this, but it's kind of really reminded me of that Rafa Benitez comment about the short blanket, you know, when he was in charge of a very, very different Newcastle. But he would talk about, you know, if you lift the blanket up, then it leaves your feet out in the cold, which would have been quite nice on a day like this. But if you then pull the blanket down, it leaves your top half exposed. And it's like, just felt like that with Newcastle this season, hasn't it? It's like,
yeah,
you do one thing, you kind of make one change, you sort of change the tactics or change the personnel. And it kind of just showcases the failings elsewhere. And it just felt like that. I mean, particularly, you know, so go to five at the back and then Newcastle just did not exist as a as an attacking threat in that match at all. I mean, a couple of shots on target, but just miserable up front, I thought.
There was such a massive gap between the midfield sort of two of Willock and Bruno and the front three. There just was no sort of coherence there, was there? It looked like a very tired performance to me. I think a lot of players on that pitch, it looked like they were ready for the season to end.
Yeah, and you know, possibly even certainly with somebody like Bruno, who I thought was poor today, it almost looked like he was protecting himself a bit ahead of the World Cup. He went off afterwards. Eddie Howe said he thought he would be okay, but yeah, there was a touch of that. But you know, the problem, I mean, it didn't matter the result, although it would have been nice to have got into the top 10 at least. But it's also the fact that it's this sort of performance and it's this feeling that is then going to linger over the summer. They had this little unbeaten run. There was a bit of uptick in mood. You know, there was that feeling that Howe was going to carry on. There was going to be a reset. And so if you take that sort of momentum into the summer, that's one thing. But you know, it does mean that it ends on a sour note on a performance which, you know, which really was disjointed.
It certainly wasn't an awful lot happened in that first sort of 20 minutes, but then 20 minutes in, Fulham get a free kick on the edge of the Newcastle area, and I'm not entirely sure why there was only two players in the wall, but there was only two players in the wall. The free kick hits the bar, it drops down, and it's nodded in by Diop, and nobody reacted.
Nobody.
Nobody moved.
Yeah.
And you could see Dan Byrne on the pitch saying, "Where is everybody? What's happened?" You know, but Diop just sort of wandered through and nodded the ball into the net unopposed. It was slack, wasn't it? It was very slack.
It was slack, and it was similar for the second goal, really. You know, again, it's like an incredible finish from Tom Kenny. I think we both have to acknowledge that Chris Woff isn't here to describe the goal, so we're just going to have to muddle through.
Yeah.
But like, even with the second, it's a similar story. It's an, you know, it's a brilliant finish from Kenny, but there's nobody anywhere near it.
Nobody, yeah.
And it just felt slack. It felt slack at that end of the pitch when it really mattered, and at the other end of the pitch, it just sort of felt disjointed, as if it wasn't working. And yeah, I mean, sort of proper end of season feel to it.
It did. The commentators on the coverage I was watching, they mentioned the amount of times Newcastle changed shape, changed tactics, and that can't be helpful to those players out on the pitch if you're changing and moving constantly like that. I mean, Harvey Barnes comes on at half time, he gives us a little bit of legs on the left, but it didn't really make an awful lot of difference. We didn't create an awful lot of chances, did we?
No, and no big chances. You know, what gets termed as a big chance, there was just none of that. And yeah, it was a lack of impetus across the pitch. I mean, you could see, you know, from across in the other stand, I was in the Johnny Hayes stand,
yeah,
and you know, you could see Howe was irate with the performance. He was irate at sort of the lack of dynamism and energy. He was trying to spur people on, and just whatever he did, it didn't work. And you know, it has been a season that sort of ends with, you know, more questions than answers. And I think that's the point, really. It was something that I asked Howe about afterwards, really, sort of saying, you know, I said this is possibly a charitable interpretation, but you know, can you call this a learning season? What lessons do you learn from it? And then I talked to him after that about the fact that Newcastle have lost 17 games in the league this season. You know, that is an astonishing number, and so I asked him about that too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always a learning season. I don't think you ever go through a campaign like we've had this season without huge lessons, both for the team and for the individuals and for us as coaches. Yeah, there's a huge amount to take. Yeah, I think across the board, really. I don't think just for us. I think as a football club, I think it's really tested us and stretched us with a number of games that we've had. And the squad had a disjointed look to it towards the end of the season with injuries and lots of other stuff going on. So it's been a really tough and challenging campaign, but one the team will come through stronger for.
This is a second deal. So I apologise, but when you see that 17 league defeats this season, you can't be happy.
No, and I don't think anyone connected with us is, and we're not deluded either. We know that there's an incredible amount of work to do with the team. We know that that's not good enough by the standards we've set historically. So lots of work to do.
Yes, there we go, Eddie Howe. It had an air of kind of just get through it, didn't it? It had a bit of the old 4:30 on a Friday afternoon sort of feel of it when you're just coming towards the weekend and you just want to get through that last half an hour of work. It had that sort of feel to it. It didn't have the drive. It didn't have the dynamism like you mentioned before. Some players were sort of trying. Joe Willock was busting a gut now and again, but a lot of the players around him weren't really shaking a leg, and it kind of felt like the game tailed off a little bit towards the end. That last 20 minutes, Newcastle weren't really in it at all, were they?
No, and you know, there was also that feeling of the story very much being elsewhere. And I think, you know, I think maybe in a different sort of scenario, if Newcastle had taken the lead, perhaps that would have spurred them on, perhaps that would have given them a bit of a drive to, you know, to push on and take the game. But you know, there was that feeling that there was, you know, the oxygen sort of just went from their lungs when they went a goal behind. Yeah. And it was just like, okay, this doesn't really matter. And, you know, that's not what you want. There was a funny moment in the second half. And I say funny because it kind of was. This is in no way a criticism. It was because it was during a drinks break. But Dan Byrne comes over to the Johnny Haynes stand, which is where the press box is, and he says to Fulham fans in the first couple of rows, "What's the score at West Ham?"
Right.
And you know, and they told him the score. There was a little bit of back and forth, and he sort of said, "What about Tottenham?" And you know, it sort of did have that kind of feeling that, like, this wasn't the story of the Premier League. Like I say, that this kind of the interesting stuff was happening elsewhere, but you know, Newcastle really didn't make any kind of effort at all to sort of change that, did they? It was just, it was just very, very flat.
Yeah, substitutes came on late in the game. Sean Neave got a Premier League debut, which I thought was a nice moment.
Yeah, he comes on, he runs around, and, you know, Wissa comes on, and you can see a sort of, you know, there's a couple of things going on there. But, I mean, you know, like, that position, that story just sort of, you know, just sort of tells you everything about this season. I mean, it's a complicated story. I wrote about Wolasulu for The Athletic at the back end of the week. But, like, you know, Asula starts the season as fourth choice, or, you know, once the window had closed. Anthony Gordon starts the season as first choice, playing kind of out of position in attack. He, you know, has scored goals from that position, particularly in the Champions League. He ends on the bench, not coming on four games in a row, and is expected to leave. Walter Marder is playing, but not playing as a number nine, playing as something else. It's still not entirely clear to me what that is. Wissa, who was the plug and play signing in August, you know, the reliable one, the guarantee, the one what you're going to get from, has been the opposite to that. Just hasn't, you know, has obviously got injured straight away, and then just has not been able to find semblances of form. Everybody needs a reset. It's going to be absolutely fascinating to see what happens in that department, because Newcastle can't have this, you know, can't have this level of kind of incoherence in what they're going to do in such a pivotal position. I nearly said pivotal position there, which was probably a bit more
that's closer,
appropriate.
Yeah.
And then, of course, at the other end, there's been this sort of, you know, relatively regular swapping of first choice goalkeeper between Nick Pope and Aaron Ramsdale, and you know, so like at both ends of the field, Newcastle have had this sort of uncertainty, and like, you can't be a good team and have that going on. You just absolutely can't. You've got to have security in both of those positions to be successful. And, you know, Newcastle have just been miles off.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Bruno Guimarães as well. We said earlier on that he didn't have a great game. Let's be honest, and that's probably being a little bit generous to him. I thought he cut a really frustrated figure today on that pitch. He looked like everything he tried didn't work. He was booked for a handball where he was fouled. He fell on top of the ball and sort of dragged it in with his hands and got a yellow card. And then with a couple of minutes later, he was down on the floor injured, and then he was off for the rest of the game. I just want your sort of opinion on him and where we stand with him. I thought he was, he looked really frustrated today, and I hate seeing Bruno like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to remember that he's come back into the team after a long while out. He's really driven everybody. I mean, he's been one of the sort of pivotal figures behind the team's recovery. When he was out the team, we remembered, just how important he is to the club, to the side. And so I wouldn't want to load too much on him when he's been so good and so important. But yeah, this was a day where nothing came off. I mean, we have to, like, you know, I mean, it was the same for Fulham, but the temperatures were just unreal inside Craven Cottage. It's like 31 degrees, really, really hot. I mean, my sweat was sweating. And all I was doing was tapping away on a laptop. So I did feel empathy for the players out on the pitch. And like, when it doesn't go your way and temperatures like that, sort of maintaining intensity and discipline must be really, really difficult. But yeah, it wasn't his day. But we know what a very special player he is. So I'm going to cut him some slack.
Yeah, that's fair enough. There's a very good chance, in fact, it's almost nailed on, that Newcastle United, when they come back and play the first game of the Premier League season next season, it's going to look like an entirely different team and a different prospect altogether, isn't it? There's going to be a number of players in that squad and in that starting 11 who might not be there, who might not feature the next time Newcastle plays. So, there's been a few goodbyes there today as well. I think it's a shame that we haven't seen Anthony Gordon again. I mean, that tells its own story, doesn't it, that he's not been involved?
What a strange season it has been for him. I mean, again, that feels appropriate for what has been a strange season for everybody and just overall for the team and the club. But yeah, I mean, starting up front at Aston Villa, I thought leading the line really well, not his position, but just running hard and pressing. And, it feels like a lifetime ago, but I sort of remember thinking...
Oh,
God. I remember thinking...
It feels like it happened to somebody else, though.
I know, yeah.
Like a different team.
But I remember sort of thinking, because obviously that was about the time as Isak was refusing to play and train, and it was like, okay, well, maybe things will be all right. Maybe things will be all right. You're looking at body language. You're looking at things like that. And Newcastle sort of put in a really decent performance without scoring. And obviously that was a bit of a concern. But yeah, and then he scored all those goals in the Champions League, and it's been more difficult for him in the Premier League, but he's played up front, and in sort of the good moments, he's the one that sort of sets the tone for the team. But there hasn't been enough of it. And then, of course, in the last couple of months, there's just been this mood music about him going, and it's just been really weird, him being on the bench but not coming on, cutting this sort of strange, slightly aloof figure. And, we're all assuming that he's going to go. Howe has said that he has had half an eye on the future, and that's the explanation. But yeah, it's been that sort of case. It's been that case everywhere. There was obviously the huge, huge emotional send-off for Trippier. He's then not in the team. He's then not in the team today. And so that's goodbye. That's goodbye to him, and sort of feels a bit more abrupt. And then, we've been sort of saying for weeks and weeks that the expectation around the club was that Fabian Cher was going to be off when his contract expires. Now, there was a bit of a change in mood music in the past couple of weeks that he would be, he might be prepared to sort of stay and be a kind of more of a backup figure. And Eddie Howe duly sort of said on Friday that they've been in talks, and there'll be more talks with his agent in the next week or so with the hope of kind of getting sorted out. But it's just this kind of weird feeling of, you know, like, I don't know. I think at the end of last season, you think to yourself, all right, there's a real opportunity here for Newcastle to build on what they've done and move forward. And now I'm not sure what it is that they'll be building on. Some huge decisions lie ahead. And more than that, just such a huge amount of work needs to be done to that squad.
It's astonishing, isn't it, that we still are sitting here feeling the ripples of that summer. All these months later, right at the last game of the season, you're still feeling the ripples of what happened in the summer and what the club went through all this time later, you know. And we'll probably still feel the impact of that for a little while yet to come.
Alan Shearer said in one of the columns that he does now that he thinks last summer set Newcastle back by 2 years. And it's definitely set
them, I would agree.
You know, yeah, and it's like definitely set them back this season. Now the future, you know, the short-term future feels, you know, much more opaque. Newcastle have got a lot right with their recruitment since the takeover. You know, you look at the players we're talking about, whether it's Gordon or Bruno or Tonali or, you know, Dan Burn, Trippier, players at different ends of their career, and it's been, and you know, obviously Isak himself, it's been really, really good. But one disastrous summer can just sort of set you back so far. Now that's not to say that the players who came in can't come good, because, you know, because they may have to. I mean, that's one thing, because they can't get rid of everybody, they can't change everybody. But, you know, this will be a bit of a painful comparison. You can turn that around and also show what one really good summer can do. And, like, look at Sunderland. You know, like, coming up in the way they did through the playoffs, they spent a lot of money and on a lot of players, and you're thinking, well, precedent will tell you that this just won't work. And then they've ended it in the Europa League, and obviously they beat Newcastle twice, which I don't need to remind everybody of. So, you know, like, the carrot is there for Newcastle. They've got to get this summer right. They just have to get this summer right, and then, you know, just as fundamentally, they have to win. You know, they have to start winning again, because, you know, the genie is out of the bag. Newcastle have won a trophy. We've all seen what that feels and looks like. And now we expect better of Newcastle. We don't expect Newcastle to be bad at football now. We expect them to be good. And that creates, I don't want to say a problem, it's just that creates a different environment. And this season in the Premier League has not been good enough. So they have to do a lot of work and they have to get it right.
They certainly do. Did you just say the genie is out of the bag? Because I love that, and I don't think that's something I've ever heard anybody say before.
Do you keep
your genies in a bag? Is that where you keep them?
It's just easier access, isn't it, than a fucking lamp? Who carries a? I carry one of those. It's just one of those carrier bags. It's one of those supermarket carrier bags. I just carry it. Oh. Why would you keep a genie in a lamp and have to get a lamp out and rub it? That's no use to anybody. At least I can carry my shirt. Did I say genie in a bag? Mate, I probably did. Yeah.
The genie's out of the bag. That's amazing.
Well, it fucking is. The genie is out of the bag.
Special genie bag that you bought off team. Right, there we go.
How can I criticise a football club for having a poor season when I come out with shit like that?
All right. Well, I think that's as good a time as any to end it, George. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. Suitably chaotic, suitably messy, suitably just all over the fucking place, yeah.
Well, listen, you enjoy the rest of your evening on the balmy Thames side in that lair London town. Have a lovely time. Enjoy the rest of your night. And that's it. That's it, ladies and gents. No more Matchday podcast this season. We are at the end. Please do us a favour. If you've not subscribed yet to our Extra Time service, please pop over to podofthetime.supportandcast.fm, where you can hear our recent special where Dan Byrne talks mental health, cup wins, and getting better at 34 with our George. For £5 a month, you also get access to all of our back catalogue of specials, some of the matchday pods from Europe as well, and various documentaries and other wonderful stuff. And?
Yes, like that lovely Kieran Trippier tribute that you narrated so beautifully. We spoke to loads of people to that. Trippier himself, Amanda Staveley was on the podcast, some Dan Byrne, some Eddie Howe, some Warren Barton, and others too. We loved doing that, and we loved bringing you those special things, and it really helps us to do more of those things if you subscribe. So thank you.
certainly does. It certainly does. Drop us an email, podandthetyne@gmail.com, or give us a follow on Twitter, X, and Blue Sky at Pod and the Tyne. Thank you very much for your time, George.
You're welcome. We will do a full end of season review towards the end of
a debrief
this week with the returning Mr. Woff, which will be will it be good fun? Yeah, well, let's hope that's cathartic. So I look forward to that. And yeah, you're very welcome.
We will make it fun.
We will make it fun,
George. Absolutely. All right, thank you very much. Thanks to all of you out there for listening as well. From everybody at Pod and the Tyne, have a fantastic evening. Take care. Good night.
Didn't make any kind of effort at all to sort of change that, did they? It was just, yeah, it was just very, very flat.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.